Good evening. It's the 23rd of May, Thursday, 2019, and it is 2 minutes after 9 o'clock Eastern Time, and this is the discussion group. This group meets on this conference call every week at this time, Eastern Time, 9 o'clock. And it's basically open for anybody. It's a free forum, and we can talk about anything anybody wants to talk about. So, that being said, the views expressed are those of the participants, not necessarily those of the NLA, and we're not responsible for that. So, my name's Terry. I'm running the board, so they say. And I want to turn the floor over to anyone who wants to talk. And with that, I'm going to shut up for a minute. And anybody who wants can speak.
One of the interesting things I read about that Trump has done recently, he looked at the attendance record of the people that had press passes to the White House. And he decided if they were going to be issued a press pass for the White House, they ought to be at the White House. So he looked at their attendance records, and I think the cutoff point was like he thought they ought to be there between 70 and 80% of the time. And so he went through and he revoked the press passes of everyone that hadn't been there that length of time, which I think was everyone. They were just skipping in and out, having a good time. And that really got their attention. So then he comes back with an olive branch and he says, okay, I am going to, on request, reinstate some of you. And I think he reinstated all but three of them and gave them press passes with fair warning that, you know, we're watching you. If you're going to be issued a press pass here, you'd best come and play like a real reporter and spend time here, which I thought was kind of interesting. He has time to do these minuscule little things. He travels all over. He talks to groups everywhere and just does, I don't know, they must have cloned him and he does like five times the work of a normal individual. And that's my comment for the evening.
That's a good point. And I agree, he does a lot more than a lot of presidents. And you know, it's stuff that can be seen. It isn't back in the background. Okay, the floor is open. A minute with nobody saying anything. Jeff, do you have anything? Sean, Dick, Terry, Michigan? Anybody want to say anything? The floor is open.
So this is Sean. So I'm the newbie. And I'm fairly confused. I've been to the site. I've read a lot. I've gotten some of your books. I've read some of the books. I dialed in to listen and not fully understanding exactly what might transpire here. Are there four or five people on the call? Is that it? Just to get a sense of it?
Well, sometimes there's been as many as 15 people on this call. This is more of a kind of a counter meeting because we can't always, not everyone gets to speak on Monday nights. Monday nights is the main call. This one is for yourself and other members to say what they want to say. And whatever ideas or ruminations that you might have. So if you want to ask a question or state something, that's perfectly fine to do here.
Sure. So, partially by way of introduction, happy to connect with any one of you folks. I've spent the last 7 years researching an awful lot of things, going from spiritual and Egyptian mystery schools and hieroglyphics up to some of these political issues. And your organization is one that has come to me recently about, and forgive me, I'm going to take a minute or two. I think it was about 4 years ago, I'd seen something about the meaning of a birth certificate. And I looked at what I could find, and I was very, very confused. And I sent it to some attorney friends of mine. I correspond with about five high school buddies. Three of them are attorneys. And none of them really kicked in on it. And I said, okay, well, that went away. And then sometime maybe 4 weeks ago or so, that topic came back up, and other folks came back up, and so I'm in the midst of escalating, of learning a lot, but from different sites. And I think on your site I saw where, you know, you don't advocate breaking laws, or there might have been something about the birth certificate, might have been other things, and I'm just going to go ahead and say these things. So the things that I came across were David Wynn Miller, his protege, Mark Keyshawn Christopher. I spent a lot of time learning, you know, looking at what they had to say. I intermittently went back and forth between David E. Robinson and Anna Von Reed. That's where I think I picked up three or four of your books, along with one of David's books. And so I'm trying to figure this thing out, and I thought I was doing okay, but now I feel like I'm in a contradictory space. So I'll just leave that by way of introducing myself. Over time, if somebody wants to have a conversation with me and offer your wisdom, I would appreciate it. Since the earlier comment had to do about, you know, what Trump did, there are a couple of people that I correspond with, and one of them is a fellow named Robert David Steele, whom I happen to have a lot of regard for, and he'll publish four or five times a day, and in one of his publications, I was looking for it, that's why I didn't pipe up earlier. I don't see the full publication, but within it, I had copied a paragraph and sent it to some friends, and I wanted to read the paragraph that said, I just learned today that NSA, by order of the president, is on a full-bore retrospective database search to document every member of Congress making promises to Zionist Israel and accepting undeclared compensation from Zionist Israel, dash, every single member, which is all but three in my count. I've heard him say that before. I think those three are Cynthia McKinney, who's no longer in the Congress, and Ron Paul and his son. That was my interjection. Dash is subject to criminal trial and will be at a minimum facing electoral challenges. I anticipate veterans who put America first being among the most credible challengers. I anticipate billboards across America showing every member of Congress holding an Israeli passport to be an Israel firster. This is going to gut the Democratic Party, but will also take out some of the Republicans in name only, Rhino. That was the paragraph. And so I was wondering if anybody had any thoughts or comments about that.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
My name is Carrie, and I am an older woman, and I see I'm only speaking with men. Is that correct? I'm sorry.
No. Our moderator is Terry.
Oh, hi, Terry. Okay, well, I'm from Michigan, and the gentleman that just spoke, I don't remember what you said your name was.
Sean.
Sean, I'm actually doing a study currently on, let's see, Mark Keeshan Christopher. I've actually purchased some of his webinars, as well as I'm in another group called youarelaw.org, and specifically it goes, Mark's instruction is all about the parse syntax and how, that's only the one that I'm working on right now is the parse syntax, correct syntax, parse grammar.
I'm very familiar. And,
right, and I'm also in another group called youarelaw.org where he has more concentrated instruction on that instruction. So I'm familiar with Mark Keeshan Christopher, and I'm also familiar with, the other person, the Wynn Miller, but I really haven't had a lot of instruction on him. But I actually, what I did was the urlaw.org is somewhat similar to Mark's instruction, but it's just somewhat a little different, so I like to get different perspectives on it. So what I did was I sent out, I had some debt collections, and I did some parse syntax grammar on their letters they sent me, like the debt collection letters. And that was approximately 6 weeks ago, and I have not heard back from them, and I sent out a lot of documents with a live life claim, which is basically sort of a a birth.
With it. Yep.
It's sort of like a separate contract from the birth certificate. It's like my own contract because, you know, they have the contract with the birth certificate. So I'm basically making my own contract.
Did you send this to them, if you don't mind me asking? And I'm sorry, what is your name again, please?
Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. Did you send this to Mark Keeshan Christopher and his group to have it double-checked, or did you file these things, and who'd you file them with?
Oh, well, I basically, it's my own private contract, the Live Life Claim. I actually made it, and I got the instruction from urlaw.org. He tells us how to construct it. He's got the templates. It's very simple, but it's kind of involved. You know, it'll take a couple of days or whatever, but, you know, it's not really that hard. And I sent this to the debt collector. I made a master copy of my Live Life claim, and then I made copies, and then I sent it to the debt collector along with some other letters, basically, you know, to asking the debt collector to prove your claim.
Right.
So that was 6 weeks ago, and I have not heard back from this debt collector, and I'm just kind of curious. I mean, I don't want to call them. I don't want to make any waves or anything.
And you sent this paper to the debt collector, registered mail?
Yes, registered mail, which is, you know, the expensive one. It's the one that...
Are you a postmaster?
Well, I would consider myself as one because one of the documents actually tell me that I'm a plenipotentiary general postmaster.
And did you get that from the UPU in Switzerland?
Oh, no. No, what I did was, what I had to do was I had to make my live life claim. I had to construct it. I had to get two other witnesses to sign it, or not sign it, autograph.
Right.
And with their fingerprint. And then I went to the post office and I got one of those registered stickers, the red ones. And I took that number and I put it on the document. I put it on the live life claim. And then I sent that, I went back to the post office, registered it, and had it come through the mail back to me. So I was the addressee, and I also was the return addressee. So that basically registers that into the post office right there.
Now, does the post office, I understand, and you're a little bit ahead of me. I haven't taken those action steps, but just wanted to ask this question. So you had the document, put the document in an envelope, you got the seal, you may have autographed the seal, whatever, but you gave it to the post office, and the post office sent it back to you because you were the addressee. Was there anything that the post office did to peruse the contents?
No, they did not look at them. It was completely private.
And when that document comes back to you, do you just maintain it closed? You would not open it?
No, I would definitely, open it up, or, it just depends on, I had to open it up because I had to make copies of it.
Okay.
So it has my copyright copy claim on it. It has my autograph on it. It has my stamp. It has my thumbprint. And it also has a $1 stamp. That copyright copy claim, nobody else can make a copy of it. And if somebody else does, if I find out that someone else does make a copy, I can, sue them.
And your dollar, the dollar stamp, was it the red fox? Is there significance about the red fox, or can it be any dollar stamp?
Well, it can really be any dollar stamp, but the red fox is top quality because
okay.
It has gold in it. It's got the gold.
And they're still available?
Oh, yeah. I got mine from eBay. Yeah.
Oh, you're not from the post office?
No, the post office does not have those. I think they were in production probably in the 80s, so they're definitely not making those anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel someone absolutely should go get a red fox or an older dollar stamp, or does a dollar stamp from a current post office suffice?
Well, that would work, yeah.
Okay.
But the UR law instructor, he basically, says, well, this is your contract, this is your claim, this is your this is your own special plenipotentiary general postmaster document, and he says, well, it's up to you what you want to do, but with that said, I went with the red fox.
So thank you for all of this. I don't know if this is as interesting to everybody else as it is to me, but Carrie, I would welcome, if you'd like to, communicating with you. I don't know UR law. Is it the letter U, the letter R, law.org?
No, it's YOURELAW.org.
Thank you very much. I would have missed that one. And thank you. As a general question, both Carrie and anybody else, this work of David Wynn Miller, the Parse Syntax Correct Grammar, is this a space where people are interested in it? I see your...
Well, I'm sorry. I have asked John Jerash about that on another call, and a couple of other people that were on the call, and I think it was Brent. He was on the call, And I did ask that question if they knew what that was, and I think John did mention that, but he didn't think that it was, you know, he just didn't really digress on it and didn't.
Okay.
You know, so yeah.
And it appears to me that John's up in New Hyde Park, not far from where I do a lot of mountain biking. I haven't studied things enough, but if I do, I'll probably see if I can go up and meet him. So along this space of the Parse syntax correct grammar, if we move into the courts and the way the courts truly operate, is that a particular area of interest for this group?
I would definitely say yes, because the fact that the courts are all running on legalese, they're not running in the law. It's
right.
All color of law. It's all legalese. It's all how you would say
fiction.
The language is really messed up on the contracts, on the indictments, on the documents. The UL Law Group, the instructor actually, he has somebody was indicted for an alleged crime or something. It could be anything really.
Right.
He would take that the court document, whether that be an indictment or a ticket, or it could be anything really. So what he would do is that he would parse syntax that document and just basically tell the court, please correct this because I can't understand the language. Now, most of the court documents are coming up with two verbs in a sentence, no nouns. They're basically not correct grammar, as we used to learn in our grammar school. You know, you have to have a noun in a sentence, and in most of these court documents, they do not have correct sentences.
I understand. The courts are of interest here. I have to commend. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. Go ahead.
So the courts are of interest in this space, as I've read. I was sort of a parenthetic question. I have to commend the website has some spectacular history on how these things were usurped from us, going back to, I think, the 1770s, then forward certainly to the Act of 1871. Let me move, and I'm trying to get a sense of what people are interested in. It's my belief from the things that I read and listen to that an awful lot of things are being undone. So if people don't know it, you could probably find, I would say, at least 15 hours of David Wynne Miller material. One video itself that I'm still working through is a singular day that he gave. It's a 9-hour talk, and I'm still working through it. Things that he talked about are the flag. So there are 19 different American flags. And as I understand it, after the moonshot, depending upon what that means to you, when there was that famous picture taken of Earth as a blue bubble in space, shortly thereafter, I understand planet Earth was declared as a vessel in dry dock and claimed. And thereafter, that claim came under an American flag that had a gold fringe on it. Is that a space where people are studied in this group?
Well, it's not really significant. It's really about the contract. It's really about the paper, the four-corner paper, the paper that that the attorney has, the prosecuting attorney. It's all about that paper. It's really, it's somewhat, you know, it's significant, but it's not. I think the contract is really where the issue really stands is the paper.
I can understand that completely. In Windmiller's parlance, the paper is the court. He said that several times. But in this flag instance, and I've heard reference to this on various calls, one of the calls that I listened to is from a gentleman in Wisconsin, former Marine, Annapolis guy, fighter pilot, and he has some friends that are there that are calling in, offering some very significant types of information. And part of the dialogue that was offered was that the president was going to leave the country. He could do that very easily. He can fly to Florida. He can fly outside of, you know, 12 miles off the continent, and he's out of, you know, United States airspace. And then he comes back in, and when he touched down on May 5th, the world had changed, and that we had taken back the republic, which had been usurped in various methods, including through the Act of 1871. Is that a topic that's discussed in this group? Okay. So the significance of the fringe for me, and I'm waiting for it, and I think if anybody remembers when the president hugged the flag, he said, oh, I love this flag, I love this flag. I think it was a bit of a setup. And that was a flag that had fringe on it. And the fringe means it's a flag under maritime law. And the I didn't see what was on the staff, but there are typically three, I believe, symbols that are on top of the staff. Maybe four or five. An eagle with its wings down, eagles with its wings out, which is the Vatican. A pine cone, which I think is also the Vatican, and then two other symbols that designate that it's under UK Admiralty law. And so the big deal that I'm waiting for is when Trump goes on a stage or does whatever he does and we see a flag with no fringe. So my understanding is he's going to the UK. Originally it was June 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, or June 4th, 5th, and 6th. And this group on the Wisconsin call that apparently, and they've said as much, say our messages we know are getting to President Trump. And they know it because they know the generals. And they said, President Trump, don't you dare stay in UK territory on June 6th, D-Day. Get out of there. More than likely, they're going to try and kill you. And so, as I understand it, Trump changed his plans. He may spend D-Day on France, I'm not sure. But I offer those things as topics that come up in, you know, the various things that I listen to. With a grain of salt, by the way. You know, you do the best you can. You take it in and say you keep, you know, assessing.
So do you follow Q?
I'm sorry?
Do you follow Q?
You know, I followed it. I don't think he's published anything since May 12 or something. Yes, I would say that I was a follower of Q. I'd go to qmap.pub. I would spend some time on it. I would listen to all sorts of interpreters about it. I'd seen the Q clock. I have to say, I didn't master the Q clock. I've seen, this was interesting to me, when Trump went to rallies, and in my, you know, he was really clear. He was making a big circle with a, you know, a mark through the circle, and that was Q. It seems to me Q might have been downplayed a little bit. And I looked this morning. I think I'm correct in saying maybe the last Q publication was on May 12th.
Yeah, no problem. I just wondered.
Yeah, yeah. And then maybe this will be the last thing, but, you know, there's been talk for a year and a half about a possible RV revaluation, GCR, global currency reset. And in some of the spaces I'm listening to, it's quasi being confirmed this is occurring. Anybody have any information on this topic?
I think the general consensus in this group is that the fringe is for the Admiralty or military flag. I think if you looked at the swearing in of the president in front of the Capitol, that there were like 10 flags up on the Capitol set, spaced at equal increments, and I think those had no fringe on them.
And it was during the swearing?
Say again?
I'm sorry, when were there these flags with no fringe?
When the president was sworn into office, Inauguration Day.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I know I was watching them. I'm pretty sure they had no fringe on them. But then they'd show flags other places, and they did, you know?
Yep, yep.
I just got a report that they're getting close. What Donald J. Trump tweeted out that the U.S. Senate has just approved, today the request, at the request and recommendation of the Attorney General of the United States, President Donald J. Trump directed the intelligence community to quickly and fully cooperate with the Attorney General's investigation into surveillance activities during the 2016 presidential election. The Attorney General has also been delegated full and complete authority to declassify information pertaining to this investigation in accordance with the long-established standards for handling classified information. Today's action will help ensure that all Americans learn the truth about the events that occurred and the actions that were taken during the last presidential election, and will restore confidence in our public institution. So there you go.
I think there's going to be an avalanche of declassification, of non-redacted, of a lot of information.
He also requested from NSA, maybe part and parcel what you just said, Terry, I didn't catch everything. He wants full information on all members of Congress except three for, I think it's a year time period or more, to know exactly what they were up to. So that should be interesting. You should have 300 or 532 people up for charges.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, the president should be able to use those facilities that were used against him. He should sure have access to them. Yeah, I know. I've gone around to local courts around here. Every courtroom you walk into has the fringe flag on it. And I'm not sure the judges even know what it means. But I've noticed it. I think it was one of the motorcycle groups for Trump that was parading around D.C. had flags with no fringe on them. So that one, they've got the word.
Speaking of flag, Kerry, if I could go back to you. In any of your documents, did you have to use the image of a flag, and did you use David Wynn Miller's patented flag?
Yes. I had a template for the flag on the document. That is his flag.
And so I've corresponded with Mark briefly, I haven't joined his group yet. I'm working through YouTube videos. There was one other question. On he someplace has an image of his own, I don't know if it's life declaration or birth certificate process type of thing. But, it's almost like a business card. He has a business card. And on the business card, he's got a stamp. It's autographed. He's got his image. He's got a thumbprint. He's got a flag. But he also has a serial number. Do you know what that serial number is and where it came from?
Yes. I actually have the same thing. After I did my Live Life claim document, I went and did the, it's called a CPAS. It looks like a business card, but it's kind of, it's got the court, I could go grab it out of my purse, but I don't want to do that. But, it's the size of a business card. You can make it bigger. And it has a passport photo. It has the Red Fox stamp with a thumbprint, a copyright copy claim, and the autographed full colon autographed name.
Right.
Okay, and then the number is actually coming from the Live Life claim. It's the Live Life claim postal registered number. That's where that number is coming from. So the registered number is coming from the red sticker from the post office. That's where that number is on his card, and I have the same card. It's really paper, but...
So if I really wanted to create that same thing, I would have to create a Live Life document and then mail it to myself at the post office, and the number on the stamp from the post office would be that serial number?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And I just have it in my wallet, and say if somebody wants to see my ID, a picture ID, I'm going to give them that first and, just see if they accept it. And also I'm going to attach one to my driver's license. I'm going to have a little flip thing on my driver's license, and I'm just going to, give that, if somebody wants to see my ID. So basically that is just my separate contract from the driver's license, because the driver's license is the state's contract. So I have my own contract. Do you see where I'm coming from? So, they got a contract, so I got my contract. We just go back and do the same thing what they do to us.
Got it. I'm learning. Speaking of these, the document, there was another piece of information that came up. I found it on Facebook, and there was a video, and the video could have been about 9 minutes long, and it involved what appeared to be a spectator taking probably a smartphone video of an incident. And the incident involved a older black fellow who was in a pickup truck that had apparently been stopped, but was surrounded by what appeared to be surrounded. I didn't see the cars in front. police cars. Police cars had their lights flashing, and I would say there was on the order of 9 to 12 police officers out there. That were making some request of him. And the guy said, pulled out a flag, and he hung the flag out the window. And he said, I'm paraphrasing to the best of my recollection, I'm showing you my flag. You bleep bleeps have absolutely no authority over me. Hit the road. And they all stood there, and they didn't do anything. And ultimately, he left. Does that ring a bell with anybody on this call?
I think I saw the same thing a few days ago. I saw it, yeah. I did see that.
Well, this has been stupendous for me. I couldn't imagine a better first call. I thank everybody for this.
Wow, that's interesting.
So how is there a forum in the group where, you know, we can write things and everybody can see it and have the opportunity to respond?
You can make a comment on any of our pages that have space for the comments.
Okay.
There's lots and lots of
pages. Yes, I think so. But if there's some alert I can set, so if there's a comment made anywhere, it would be brought to my attention?
Don't know about that one.
Okay.
Would you repeat that question, please?
I didn't understand. Sorry.
Can you repeat your question, please?
Yeah, of course. The question was, on the site, since you can make a comment on many different places, is there a way in which I could register so that if any comment is made anywhere, I'm notified and I would be able to see that comment easily?
All you have to do really is to just go to the website on almost any page, look down the right side, and you'll find who's online, you'll find out how many members we got, all that stuff. Keep going down, upcoming events, and then below that is recent comments, and that's things that have been posted on all of those places you can post.
Fantastic, thank you.
So you just check that, and you see something new pop up, you click on it, and it'll take you to the page. You wait a little bit, and it'll scan down to the right place, and it'll say new comment. You've got it.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
And just so I can check, was that...
You were breaking up a little bit on that. Can you repeat that?
Yes, I wanted to try and get to recognize the voices, and I was asking who was speaking. Was that Terry?
No, this is Pennsylvania Jan.
Pennsylvania Jan, thank you.
Yep.
I do feel compelled to answer something or to make a comment, and that is that I'm getting feedback from somebody. I don't know who it is. So when on any of these things, and I'm not familiar with Miller, and I'm not familiar with Christopher, but I can speak to NLA. We're trying to get common law reestablished and recognized. And one of the things that has been a challenge is you have to have somebody in the government, i.e. the sheriff, preferably, to recognize that common law exists and that what we're saying is, in fact, law in this land. And so far, they've got a pretty good system set up that, not in LA, but the government has a pretty good system to not recognize and not allow common law in. So no matter what you're doing, at some point, we have to have an authority that's going to recognize it. I know we are sovereign, but once we get that first sheriff to stand up, that's going to make a big difference. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. I'd like to make a comment on that. So this is public knowledge. I'm not disclosing anything. There's a fellow named Field McConnell. And I think on Tuesdays and Fridays or something, about 2 p.m. Eastern, he has a call. many people tune into the call. It's on YouTube. If you go to the group that he's part of is called Able Danger, ABELDANGER. I'd known of him for, I don't know, a year, and I used to say, oh, my goodness, there's just too much blah, blah going on here. I can't listen to these guys anymore. And then something came out. And it came out from Robert David Steele, and it was an audio piece, and it had this fellow speaking. And the speaker was talking about Dick Nixon before he was, while he was still in the Navy, that Ensign Nixon was the attorney for the Navy for Project Paperclip. And he knew where all the bodies went because he was the guy that was placing them into society. He went on to talk about a lot more things. And so I wrote to Robert David Steele, and I said, do you know who the narrator is? He said, I know, I have no idea. And so I put it together, and it comes off of this Able Danger Field McConnell call. You can go to YouTube. You want to see the prior live streams are there to be listened to. And he has friends of his that call in with anonymous call signs. One of them is called Mad Dog. One of them is called a fellow named Juan O'Savin, as in 107, Juan O'Savin. And this particular speaker was Juan O'Savin, who disclosed a lot of things about Nixon, about his history in the Navy during Paperclip, how he was a Rockefeller guy, how he got placed as vice president under Eisenhower, and things that he did before Watergate collapsed on him, which were extraordinarily interesting to me. So in that call, where was I going with this? In the space of common law, and this has been going on for, I would say, the last five calls or so, over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, either Juan O'Savin or Mad Dog or somebody will say, you know what, it's the law of the land is going to be changed, and it's going to be common law, and all attorneys, this statement really took me back. He said, all attorneys are going to have to be retrained if they want to practice. That's a pretty big statement. So in the space of common law, I would encourage you, if you want to, tune in or watch some of these old Field McConnell, Able Danger calls. They can go on for 2 hours, and there's a lot of jibber-jabber in between. But when the phone rings and you get some of these other guys calling in, generally the information flows start to get intense. And that's where I picked up a lot about common law. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, this whole thing, the entire thing, the reason I'm back here was because this fellow, 107, said two words. He said, jural assembly. And I wrote down jural assembly, and when I started to look it up, that's how I got re-involved in this space.
Well, he was right about no attorneys. We don't need attorneys in common law. They cannot practice as an attorney, just like we don't have a judge, just a magistrate, who does not legislate from the bench.
Yeah.
He's the timekeeper, et cetera.
I'd like to add a little bit to that. If we go back to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, up until the 13th Amendment, which was ratified, the original 13th Amendment was ratified. Other people came in and they didn't like it, so they quit printing it. When they quit printing it, they knew people would start asking questions. Why had it been? Why isn't it printed? Because it hasn't been eliminated in any way. So they printed the 14th Amendment in the place of the 13th Amendment, which restricts the Constitution, and anything past that original 13th Amendment does not exist.
Interesting.
Right. I think it's interesting, and they keep saying they're trying, the Democrats are trying to say that Trump is going to be caught under the 25th Amendment, which there, it doesn't exist. Well, another couple things I'll add. The original Constitution, man with a fourth grade, education was qualified to read and understand everything in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Not one word was to be changed to have more than one meaning. And that has been all convoluted with the quote-unquote attorneys who are all foreigners switching this stuff around to confuse things.
Yes, they do that very all the time.
They sure do.
I'll go to the president, and I'm going back in the early 80s when he was just getting his feet on the ground out in New York and New Jersey. Unfortunately, by having a grandfather who was in the quote-unquote, trying to think how I want to say this. He was an attorney, became an attorney in 1917 in Chicago, Illinois, at the University of Illinois. He was in a law firm with a fellow by the name of Sidney Korshaw. At that time, Chicago was considered to be the entertainment capital of the world. Sidney Korshak was very interesting to know. He had a kid brother that didn't have brains enough to blow his nose who became a United States senator. When his son or his brother-in-law would hear something being proposed, he would call Sidney and say, "What should I do?" Now, that's the kind of senator he was. When he got out of that, he came back and went into the law. I won't go into any farther than that. At that same time, they had bought into Trump Towers. Sidney advised my grandfather to sell his stock because something was going on and Trump was going to get in a lot of trouble, so he sold the stock in Trump Towers. At that time, I didn't have too much love for Trump, but I continued to watch what was going on. I am sure that Trump knows who Sidney Korshaw was. He probably knew who my grandfather was. And he probably knew a lot of the other stuff that took place, which included Ronald Reagan. I'll stop there. If anybody wants to know more, I'll give it to them, but I think that I've said more than enough. I am going to leave the call right now. So I'll wish everybody a pleasant evening. Good night.
Have a good evening. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one, Dick. Okay, anybody else want to say anything?
Well, that guy's a bundle of info.
Yeah, he used to, for a short time, like a few days or a few hours, he was governor of Illinois.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Can you imagine spending the evening with him with a 12-pack of beer or something, you know?
You can go back and listen to some of the old recordings where he, there was about 2 weeks in there where he took up the whole time and just explained what was happening. It was interesting. Okay, anybody else
wants?
Go ahead.
I just said I'll probably go back and try and listen to them. I do have one last thing, and don't know how appropriate or inappropriate is to the call, but Carrie, I would love to speak with you if you're open to it.
Over the phone?
Sure, however you'd like.
Oh, I don't know. What did you want to, I was just curious, what did you want to speak about?
Well, you have operating knowledge. You've done the things that I want to do, and you were very enlightening to me about the spaces that you've already gotten. So we would be around this urlaw.org, these types of actions.
Well, the urlaw.org actually, he has a weekly call every Tuesday. He actually had one tonight at 7 o'clock. So sometimes it's a call like this one. It's like a conference call, and you can get on the calls, and you can also join the group. You can be a non-paying member or a paying member. So you really, being on the website, you'll just get a ton of information, and it would be really difficult for me to go through all that information. It's really, he's got a lot of documents, a lot of downloaded calls. So he's got everything on the on his website. So I would definitely recommend going there.
Thank you very much. I will do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Okay, with that, I'll say that this has been the discussion group call. It's now 8 o'clock my time, which is, 10 o'clock Eastern time. This call happens every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern time, and anyone that wants to participate can. And the views expressed are those of the person expressing them and not necessarily the views of the NLA. And I want to invite everybody to be back next week if you want. And we appreciate all the participation tonight. And we'll see you later. I'll stop.